Hello, and broadcasting from the beautiful, Central Coast of California, it's the Dr. Death Danger Radio Show!
How's it going, listeners? Welcome to another episode of the Triple D Radio Show with your hosts and boys, James and Edward! And remember, there's timestamps in the description if you ever just want to jump to any part of the show. Good hosted! What's good over there? A resident Florida man. How many more months? How many more days? How many more weeks is it left till you can come back into California and have yourself a sick burrito, bro?
Oh, bro, I'm missing that Mexi food. Hey, everybody.
How bad? I'm Edward. Welcome. Like, how soul-crushing is it?
Dude, like, I'll be honest, I'm mostly okay. But every time we do one of these podcasts, I miss it a little more.
Because I exist?
Because you remind me, oh, fuck. He gets to have that every day if he wants.
I can. I have it every week at least.
I don't know how your bowels are going to feel about that, but
every day, no. But I at least have it like every fucking week. Yeah, I at least have a burrito.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, it's just there. Now, out you in Florida, dude. I get it. You wanted to better yourself. You wanted to actually see what it's like working with the big mouse. But the price to pay is no sick lengua burritos, baby. No lengua tacos. Yeah. You can't even have a torta, which I don't know whenever you ever got tortas, but I'm just saying, no tortas? Fuck.
I rarely did, but it was still nice to have the option if I was feeling spicy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you feel spicy, oh, yeah. I was saying,
yeah, man, getting something a little different, yeah. Yeah.
I was just saying, when you just want beans, meat, and bread, and just some cheese, there you go.
Yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, welcome back to my Monster Hair podcast, everybody.
How is Deanne doing?
She's better now that they're coming to visit in a few weeks.
Oh shit, really? They're coming, what, you gonna comp them like tickets into the park?
Am I legally allowed? Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Is Disney gonna hunt you down? You're like, what the fuck? Who told you said you could comp tickets for your parents into our park, you motherfucker? What the hell?
Well, considering that we average like somewhere between 5 and 10 downloads an episode, I don't think I'll have to worry about that too much. But you never know with this company.
Yeah. But either way, that's sick though that your parents are gonna come in and shit. That sounds chill. Fuck yeah. And then you're gonna like,
all right, cool,
we're gonna see. It's like, all right, is it now 4 or 3 more months? Wait, May, June, July, August. Oh shit, we're about
just under 4 months.
Just under? But wait, aren't you bouncing in August?
Wait, yeah, so June, July, August. Sorry, so we're just a little over 3 months.
3 months, dude, 3 more months. You have a summer to go, and then you're back, and then, I don't even know, your stomach's going to explode. I bet you're going to have like 7 days straight of Mexican food.
Oh, bro, well.
I bet you're going to go like, all right, I got to go to Tacos Day. Then you're like, oh, dude, we're going to beat up a podcast. And we're like, yo, let's go get Efren's. I'm like, oh, shit, let's go get Efren's. And then you're going to sit there and you're going to be a late night with the bros. Like, let's go get Tonitas. Oh, yeah, let's go get Tonitas. You're somehow going to be in like a Tascabama. And you go like, yo, La Piera or fucking Garcia's. Let's go. Come on. I'll feel something. Let's go, baby.
Or in town.
You're going to be like, oh, dude, I want some sit down. Let's go to Osos. Let's go to La Casitas. Dude, just hit that salsa, baby. Yeah. He's just like,
or it's like mom's like, hey, let's see you, me and your dad go to lunch. And I'm like, hell yeah, let's hit up Taco King.
Yo, let's go to Taco King. Fuck yeah.
Or I'll be DoorDashing up in Santa Maria again, and I'll hit up the like 3 different spots that I can't remember the name of, but the 3 different spots that I knew of to get a killer burrito.
He's like, I'm going there. I'm going to go there for breakfast, then I'm going to go to that next joint for lunch, and then I'm going to end off the night going to that place for dinner. Yeah.
Bro, I passed out. I passed out in so many parking lots, bro.
From just like you be working, you munching, and you're like, you know,
I'm thick munching, bro.
He's like, I'm gonna eat a thick munching. I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna watch a YouTube video, and then you're like, oh God, I think 3 hours have passed. Well, I guess
it's like, oh, she's like, oh shit, I missed two orders.
Oh, damn, look at that.
Oh well.
All right, back to work. Yeah, baby.
Time to watch my time to finish watching this 3 hour analysis of Evangelion.
3 hours? Wait, was that the one I was talking about?
No, yours was like an hour. There's this other one that's actually really interesting. It's called the Hideaki Anno problem. This British dude goes through the history of the guy, but also like, but like through every like show and movie he ever did. He has a fairly small library, but like he has some like really interesting tidbits of history, specifically when he gets to the Eva parts. It's like it's over an hour long, but it actually works as a pretty good companion piece to that other Eva video we were talking about a few episodes ago.
That's what I just need, is to be so educated on Evangelion. I'm kind of good. I watched the one. I think I'm all right. Unless you're like, and then you can watch this, and then you'll watch the whole thing, and you'll just understand everything, and you'll finally like it, James. You'll finally like it, James. It's gonna be so sick. And I'm like, please, no, I don't want to go through that again. I can't handle that again. No, I just can't.
I don't think I said any of that.
No, I don't know. This is me like implying. That you might say that to me, and I'll be like, no, I don't need that. I don't need to go watch I don't need to watch Nymphomaniac again. I fucking hell do not need to watch Caligula again. I need a good reason. I need to be okay, I will watch Caligula again if I'm with a baddie and they have like this perverted desire to watch that movie after me describing what the fuck it is. At least me as an opinion piece.
I've actually been meaning to tell you, you know what we should do for this podcast? There's like three or four other cuts of that movie that exist.
Well, I want the one with no dicks. Well, let me rephrase that. I want the one that's not like fucking full on porno scenes. I'll take that one. I don't know.
Pretty much every alternate cut does everything it can to erase Bob Guccione.
I'm just saying, like, anything that doesn't have Bobby Guccione, like, I'm sure we're still going to have the scenes with motherfuckers and their dicks out. It's just how it was. The movie portrayed that as, a, like, yeah, people were just nude and shit. And weird, really gory shit happens. Yeah, I keep forgetting that, like, there's a handful of, like, really uncomfortable gory scenes in that movie. Which, hey, listeners, to anyone that's coming, we have reviewed that movie. You can look back in our archives. You can go to Spotify. I don't even know where the fuck we put our podcast on. Or just Podbean. Fuck it. I don't even care.
We're on Spotify. We're on Podbean. We're on Audible. You have us on Audible.
Oh, sick.
I thought I saw us on iHeartRadio once, but I don't remember.
I think we might be on Stitcher. I think I definitely liked us on Stitcher. That was a fun...
Stitcher. That's the other one, yeah.
As I said, you know what? Just take a just Google search us. You're gonna find it. And you know what? Look up Caligula. We did that review. You'll hear me bitch about fucking dicks for like a good straight, like, you don't even know.
I think that movie was the maddest you and I got about something that was not a VH1 show.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, it was fucking frustrating. Mostly because, and I've ran into this before. You know what? You can tell there's a great movie here, but Rob Guccione had to fucking make it like, oh, dude, I have to make sure people jack their shit to this. I'm like, this movie is not that this movie is not sexy at all. And this is a pretty bad porn with great actors.
There's actually some interesting history about that. Back in the 70s, there was apparently this little movement for a while called porno chic, which was basically like, hey, what if we had these porno movies that were like artsy? And by artsy, I mean, what if they were actual movies, basically, that happened to have porn? And Guccione wanted Caligula to basically be
the magnum opus. This is the future.
He basically wanted Caligula to be the like magnum opus, be all end all that. But what happened instead was the movie basically bombed and it killed off the genre.
Yeah, so basically it was the be all end all of it. It fucking killed the genre.
It was, yeah. It ended it all.
I don't even know if it began. It just ended. Fuck you, Rob Guccione. Fuck you.
Yeah.
If we had our Hall of Shame, Rob Guccione would be in there. And then also Brett Michaels.
And
then also that white dude that played an albino black man in like something The Black Sunshine. Him? That director?
Yeah. Whole Catch shame. The Black Sunshine. Yeah, Catch the Black Sunshine. AKA Black Rage.
Yeah, that guy? Hall of Shame.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
I know. We have a whole awesome, but we only have two people in there. Hall of Shame, I think we can pull in a lot more. Fuck. At least like half the like a third of like the people that we dealt with in like Rock of Love, Hall of Shame. I don't know if I'll put Daisy in there. I think Daisy's safe. Like Daisy was a little silly, but you know,
I would definitely put Ted Nugent in the Hall of Shame.
Oh, I do. Ted Nugent, easy. Sebastian Bach, easy. Scotty in, fuck. Actually, anyone in Damocracy?
Yeah, except for Jason Bonham.
Okay, Jason Bonham's safe. But everyone else, Hall of Shame. Fuck you. That show was bad. That made us not want to do a podcast. That was like, dude, fuck. I'm not in the mood to watch it. Fuck this. Hall of Shame.
Dude, fucking Supergroup was so bad, it almost killed the podcast.
Dude, fuck Supergroup.
We've never gotten back to a regular release schedule since that movie.
I'll just say, like,
since that show.
Yeah, I think you and me could personally, like, I don't know if you can say it, but dude, fuck Supergroup. I would not recommend watching that to anyone. You think in concept it'd be good? Nah, it's fucking boring and shitty, and you just watch a bunch of washed up dudes You watch these dudes bitch and bitch and bitch, and they're not even, like, really good, like, justified bitching. It's just like, you fucking, like, you're so, quit being such
a
bitch.
It's all prima donna. It's all prima donna, first world celebrity bullshit.
I need to go run. I need to do my run. I can't go to this photo shoot right now. You know, you might have time after. Nah, I need to rest my voice. For me to look sick as a vocalist, I need to go run right now. It's like, dude, we were supposed to do this like photo shoot like 15 minutes ago, like out the door. No, I gotta go run right now. And I'm like Ted Nugent, just like, oh, you're not gonna make me do that. Oh, you're not gonna make me do that. No, you're not imposing my rights. Nah, and yeah,
I'm gonna say watch me sexually harass our cook.
Oh my god, it's like, dude, fuck Supergroup. That show sucked. So yeah, episodes are in the archives. You fucking bought that shit.
Yeah. I honestly,
you bought it.
I'm honestly more ashamed of that buying that than I was of buying the Bret Michaels cologne, which I still have.
Yeah, dude, it smells like Axe body spray.
It smells exactly like Axe body spray. You know, those Supergroup series was pretty good. Like, I honestly thought for a long time our Tough Enough series of episodes was like, yeah, this is like some of our best stuff. Supergroup was seven episodes of just we fucking hate everything about this. And there was also some pretty okay album reviews in there too. So it was just like, Caligula has probably my favorite rant from you from all time, where you spent like, we were like spending 10 minutes, you were spending 10 minutes ranting about the orgy.
Oh god, yeah, I fucking hated that scene, and I invested so much time in my life that I will never get back. Yeah,
it was a 2.5-hour movie.
Oh my god, seriously, yeah, that friggin' Rob Guccione, you're in the Bret Michaels Hall of Shame. Fuck you.
The Bret Michaels Hall of Shame. We're gonna have to sit down one day and actually like put these halls together.
Yeah, we already have our Hall of Awesome, which is not much because we don't do ourselves any favor. But yeah, like.
Who are the two members? It's Bret Michaels, security guy, and did we put the director lady who did The Decline of Western Civilizations?
Yeah, her. Okay, yeah. She's in the Hall of Awesome. You know what? I might even vote for Carl Urban for the first person shooting in like Doom. You know what? That seat's so awesome, and I'm nostalgic for it. I would say it's like, I would vote for it to be in the Hall of Carl Urban, first person shooter.
I would vote for that.
Yeah, all right, Carl Urban.
Where did Dwayne Johnson go?
I don't know, neither Hall. He's just kind of mid.
Oh man.
yo, what was that one shitty fucking album that those motherfuckers that we reviewed on a CAR?
Oh, are you talking about the WWE record?
Well, that one's pretty terrible. I'm talking about one of the first ones where it's like, this is bad. I want to stop listening to it now, halfway through. It was like that garbage alt rap group.
Oh, G-Love and Special Sauce.
Yeah, G-Love, Special Sauce, fuck you for the misleading name. You're in the Bret Michaels Hall of Awful. In it, now. I vote for it. I don't know about you.
Where does I'm down. I see. In my mind, I still think that that's like the worst album we've had on the CAR. But I also feel like that weird new wave record that my mom recommended was pretty bad.
Yeah, you know what's bad? Also, Kiss. Those two albums, Kiss Hall in the Bret Michaels Hall of Awful.
Okay, I want to make an addendum. Kiss is in the hall of is in the Bret Michaels Hall of Shame, but Paul Stanley's accent should be in the Hall of Awesome.
Okay, Paul Stanley's accent, totally Hall of Awesome. You know what? You know who else is Hall of Awesome? Jason Statham. I put him in the Hall of Awesome.
Oh, dude, he should be the Hall of Awesome could almost be named after him. We watched what, 5 of his movies in a row, and they all ruled.
Damn, dude, the Jason Statham, I don't know. I don't feel committed to calling it the Jason Statham Hall of Awesome. But you know what? Jason Statham, he's in the Hall of Awesome. Those movies we watch, so sick. So fun. Yeah.
Where does Mr. Hot or Not go?
Mr. Hot or Not? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I would categorize Mr. Hot or Not. That's just kind of just there. Oh, just think, in 3.5 months, we will have Hot or Not again. Fuck us.
Yeah. Last suggestion for the Hall of Shame. Peyton Parrish.
Peyton Parrish? Oh, dude. Easy. Easy. Bret Michaels Hall of Awful. Easy. Yo, fuck him. Fuck him in his voice. Right. He's just a meme of shit. He's just like our easy go-to, like, just shit-on musician. The fucking Mr. Hot or Not will meet right. And we're just like, dude, this guy sucks. He's literally on every cringe page. And everything is just like, bro, why? I'm good. Past week.
Easy. Overproduced multi-layered track, Viking Cowboy, Peyton Parrish.
Oh my god. Alright. Now question. Where do you put fucking Andy what's his face? Who was that motherfucker? Who was that pop punk bro?
Andy Negative.
Alright, Andy Negative.
I think he's fucking terrible, but you think, well, he got, well, Mr. Hot or Not got really mad when me and Ed started comparing him to him, so that makes him awesome. So that one's on you.
You know what? I don't think he's gonna get into any hall. He's just gonna be. He's just there. It's just too neutral.
He's cursed. He's cursed. He's cursed to the purgatory of mid.
I'm just saying he's in the purgatory of mid. Him and Dwayne. I'm just saying easy.
Got any negative in Dwayne Johnson?
Dwayne Johnson.
Dude, really quick. I know we're kind of, you know, eating up some time here. Did you hear about Rock on the set for his new movie?
No. What's up?
So apparently this new movie he's filming, people are fucking pissed working with him because he keeps showing up 7 to 8 hours late. And he keeps peeing in water bottles to save time.
Huh. It's like, you know, you don't have to piss the water bottles if you showed up 7 or 8 hours late, Dwayne.
But Dwayne's so, like, yeah.
No, I need to get my 7 or 8 hour workout in before I came here. I have to look like I am the final boss. I have to look like I'm Apocalypse and fucking Marvel vs. Capcom 4.
I have to make sure that my neck ceases to exist.
The world must know I have no neck and I achieved this. It's something I achieved to have a neck. Not many people can commit to not having a neck. It is scary. But I, Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, have worked my ass off to make sure I don't have a neck.
The Samoan Hercules.
Samoan Hercules. Yeah, fuck that. Yeah, fucking Hercules. What a fucking disappointment that movie was. All right.
Yeah.
So you want to take a quick break so I get the timestamp and then roll into the CAR? Yeah.
Let's rock.
All right, listeners, Ed, good host Ed. What did we listen to for the classic album review this week?
Hey, everybody. So we listened to ZZ Top Eliminator, which might as well be, because I looked up some history for this record, might as well be a Billy Gibbons solo album. But it's got some of their biggest songs. And quick fun fact before I start talking about the first song, I just learned this today. Billy Gibbons gave credit to Al Jorgensen of Ministry because apparently the drum samples from early Ministry records was like was like used to like help make this album sick or something. I don't know. I just somehow ZZ Top and Ministry cross wires.
Yeah, so crazy fun fact. So, first song, Give Me All Your Lovin'. What'd you think about it?
All your hugs and kisses too. Yeah, it's a fun, catchy radio rock song. I mean, you know what? It's a classic. I gave it a 7 because, I mean, come on, it's just fun.
So, I'll admit, the song, it slaps, but it can drag a little bit at times. So I give it a light 7 out of 10. Mostly, it can be a little bit of a punisher of a song on how much it gets played anytime you listen to some anything but rock radio. Alright, on to the next one. You Got Me Under Pressure. What's good with this one?
You Got Me Under Pressure. It's not my favorite single from them, but it's fun. It's very 80s. I mean, makes sense. This came out in the 80s. But yeah, very 80s. Sounds like it should be in a movie. I gave it a strong 6.
So for me, yeah, you know, I think the song's a fucking banger, and it's not as overplayed as the other singles. I kind of fuck with it more. So I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Weird. Look at that. You thought a song was like mid, and I thought it was like, you know what? I thought that song ruled. Alright. It's this song. You know, it's that song that I think most people know ZZ Top for. Ed, what is this song?
It's talking about how, it's talking about, it's a song that talks about how every girl's crazy about a shirtless man. I gave this song an 8. It's just freaking cool, dude. And I love that that unnecessarily aggressively fuzzy bass tone. It's just awesome. I mean, I have met the occasional rockhead that kind of like talks crap on this album because it's like, you know, oh, they used to be a cool like blues rock band. Then they try to go all new age and pop. I'm like, yeah, but here's the thing. They gave me Sharp Dressed Man, and this song rules. 8 out of 10.
I was saying, like, I don't know. I kind of fuck with more, like, new wave ZZ Top more than, like, blues rock ZZ Top. I know, shoot me. I know, how dare I? But I do think the song could be a little overplayed, but it slaps. I gave it a 7 out of 10. I wasn't on an 8 out of 10. I still thought the song was really good, but I can't. I do get pretty exhausted after a while listening to it. Now, the song, I Need You Tonight.
Yeah, talk about a step down. And we're not talking about the song by NXS, so calm down there, Mom. So, it's some pseudo blues, but it's all right, you know, kind of fun. It's like I said, a step down from, because this is my first time listening to the album in full. I didn't realize that they opened up with 3 of their biggest bangers right off the top. I gave it a 6 because it's good, but I mean, come on, it's not Sharp Dressed Man.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, I just thought this was basically, I guess technically, a blues song for 1983. It's just like, just there. Yeah. It's long, it's chilling, but you know what? It's not the worst, and I didn't hate on it, so I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
All right, what was the next song? Good Host Ed.
I think it's called I Got 6.
I Got the 6.
The 6. Speaking of, I gave it a 6. It's, you know, kind of fun, you know, kind of lively. It doesn't get my party started, but it got my toe tapping.
Well, for me, coming off that last song where I stepped things down and how short the song is, I thought it was short and sweet. So you know what? I thought the song slapped, and I gave it a 6 out of 10. It is a little bit of filler in mid, but it was pretty chill. Now, ask me, is this Beard? Is this the drummer that sings this song?
I think so. I don't remember offhand, but I think so.
I would say, well, either way, I fucked with I Got the 6. Yeah, you thought it was good. Yeah, yeah. Now, Legs.
She got legs. I don't know why, but for the longest time in my life, I swear I thought this was a Bob Seger song. But I don't know if this is heresy. I actually only gave it a 6, a strong 6. I think it's better than Under Pressure in some ways, not always. And it's not even because it's overplayed, but I just think that, you know, on an album where it has like two really, really great singles, I just thought, yeah, this one's good. Like, it definitely is a radio rock song that I know got air or radio time, but it's only, I think it's only really good.
So for me, I'm not gonna lie, I thought the song was pretty mid. Like, it's good, but I give it a high 5 out of 10. I just didn't fuck with it on like that level, because I just thought it's just such a mid song. And yeah, even if it's a single still, it just doesn't hit it for me. But now, Thug. Tell me about Thug.
I gave this one another 6. Honestly, it's kind of groovy in parts, and it had these weird, like, funky bass breaks, and like the bass was kind of like the driving instrument on the song. And I was like, I gave it that 6 because I'm like, you know, it's kind of cool, but I give it points for being different. It's debatably the most unique song on the album.
So for me, when I saw the title, I was like, Thug. Why does ZZ Top have a name called Thug? And when I listen to it, like, yeah, it's a funky little ditty, but is this song pretty thug? Nah, I don't think this song was thug at all. I give it a low 6 out of 10. It's not bad, but it's not thug. So
it does not pass its class for thugonomics.
I'm just saying, it doesn't. Now, TV Dinners. You know what? I'm going to take the lead on this one. This one was fucking weird. I don't know why. Like, why do they just have a fucking song about TV Dinners? I thought it was just so fried. But there's a weird little sample in here that Crom has sampled and I've listened to numerous amounts of times. I'm like, that's where it got it. But the rest of it, yeah. No. There is a fucking, like, that weird guitar break, like, Dinini or whatever the fuck it is. Crom has ripped that for an intro into a song for their, like, friggin' samples. But yeah, this song is just fried. Why the fuck is ZZ Top singing, have a song about TV Dinners? I just gave it a low 6 out
like,
of 10.
It's not even like a euphemism for chicks or anything. Like, no, like, Billy is just legit freaking singing about what TV dinners he likes. He's talking about turkey and chicken and
what, Salisbury, and like that hungry
crab.
Yo, that hungry man Salisbury steak? Fuck. What a weird song.
And here's
song.
The thing. I thought the lyrics were like on the like basically trash, but I thought the music actually kind of went hard. I don't know why. I thought the music was kind of cool. For some reason, I gave it a light 7 because I was just like, because like the music was pretty good, but the dumb lyrics like became endearing, or if not endearing, they entertained me to where I'm like, I would listen to this song more than I would Thug. I would probably put it on again before Legs, if I'm honest.
Ah, fuck. I would agree with you. I was like, I would disagree with you. Like, the song's so weird. It's like, who would have thought out of ZZ Top, this is what you would get out of ZZ Top? Like, I never was looking for it. But I guess ZZ Top decides, like, oh, we gotta make a song about our favorite TV dinners. And we just gotta. But either way, on to the next song, Dirty Dog. Tell me what's good about Dirty Dog.
Not much. I gave it a 5. I didn't hate it, but it's just more of the same. And I don't think one of the last 3 songs on your record should sound like this hardcore, like, filler. I don't even really remember anything from it. Like, some of the other songs, I can recall something. I legit don't even remember what this song sounds like.
I just can tell you this. I just wrote down, okay, the song had some energy, but honestly, it felt like it was just kind of a rehash of earlier material on the album. So it's just filler.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But you know what? I give it a 6 out of 10. I'm saying the last song, TV Dinner, kind of put me kind of brought me down, but this song kind of brought me up a bit. So it's like, you know what? I didn't hate it. But now, what's this song, Ed? What is this one?
If only I could flag her down. I feel like they were running out of ideas to name their fucking songs, you guys.
I think they might have, yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
I wrote here, ZZ Top does some rockabilly. You know what? I know this song is cheesy as hell, but you know what? It's a kind of pretty sick guitar solo. It feels kind of a bit of a retread of, like, LaGrange. Like, the guitar solo really reminded me of that from that song. But, you know, I gave it a 6. I was like, you know what? This song's kind of lame, but it had a 6 solo. And newsflash for everyone, Billy Gibbons is a sick guitar player when he wants to be.
I was saying, so for me, honestly, I'm gonna shout out to Beard, our main man Beard. Like, honestly, he lays out a pretty sick shuffle groove throughout this whole song. I was like, alright, you know what, that's a pretty sick groove. And obviously the solo, you know, it's good. You know what, song is mid though, so I gave it a low 6 out of 10 to say. But you know what,
Beard's a man. Like, all three of them are good musicians. He's a super good drummer.
I would say, like, Beard's got that down. Now tell me about Bad Girl, the last song on the album.
I wrote here, okay, so ZZ Top decided to write a Led Zeppelin song. I gave it another 5. I don't know why. I was just so on it. Like, I'm listening to it, I'm hearing it, and I'm like, okay, I get it. You wanted a fun song to end your record on, but it just sounds so It just sounds so okay. I wasn't vibing much with it.
So for me, you know what? I think I vibed a little bit better. I thought it was a fun ender, but it could be a hella forgettable song, and you wouldn't even know it. But when listening to it at the present, I'm like, you know what? I don't mind this. I gave it a 6 out of 10. Now, obviously, the album is just front-loaded like a motherfucker.
Oh my god. It's like, I honestly think this is why bands shouldn't do this, because, like, the good songs are always going to stand out. But if you have, I mean, granted, this is just what you did back then. That's why, like, people used to... I remember mom telling me, she said when she used to talk to her music friends, she used to get in conversations with them where it's like, oh, are you a side A person or a side B person? Because side A usually had all the singles.
I can tell you, I'm mostly a side A. Fuck. How about if both side A and side B are good? How about that? Just say it.
That's true. But and it's funny because I told mom once, I said, well, it's funny because your favorite Priest album is Point of Entry, which for some people is like the B-sides of their whole discography.
You're like, hey, but mom, anyway. Back off. Or was that your mom's favorite album?
No, that was her favorite album.
Oh, so you just sit there like...
She goes back and forth. It's either that or Defenders of the Faith.
Well, Defenders of Faith is fucking goated. It just has bangers on bangers.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So out of a score of 110, everybody, after I tallied up my score, which I don't know if you guys know it, but I tend to do that. It gets a 68 out of 110. I would recommend it. I don't want to say it's a singles only record, because it's not. There's some good non-single songs on here, but I think it's worth a listen.
I was saying, it's definitely interesting, especially for...
It was ZZ Top trying to sound like Eddie Money, and you know what? It wasn't bad.
You know what? I don't mind ZZ Top and their new wave sound. I don't mind it. But as I said, the album's just kind of just front-loaded. But back then, I think a lot of people bought albums just for, like, a couple songs anyway, so... This is what it is. So you know what, Eliminator? I don't hate it. If you're bored, throw it on. Have some fun with it. Shake your fucking little tushy. Hell yeah. All right, listeners, quick break. You grab a timestamp, grab some water, and we'll come back for the main event. Hard out. All right, listeners, now we're back. Good host, Ed. What time is it? I don't have the voice to yell, so it's all you. You got to introduce us. What time is it?
Oh boy. Hey, listeners, it is now time for the main event of the evening, or the day, or the morning.
That's right. The good main event of this show. So, good host Ed, for today's main event, what are we reviewing?
We are reviewing, and I actually can't believe we didn't mention it this whole time yet. We watched Conan the Barbarian, you guys.
Hell yeah. The one with Arnie. Like, one of, like, I think this is, like, what, Arnie's second or third movie?
I think it was his third, but it was like the one that broke him into the mainstream.
Well, Terminator was, wait, no, was Terminator a little bit like on a cult status? Either way, it's fucking,
yeah.
So I don't know, I'm gonna say it flat out, I fuck with this movie, and it was kind of sick to watch it again. Honestly, there's a lot more nuance to this movie every time I watch it, so, because there's just so much.
Yeah, I was surprised, because I remember watching it when I was younger, and my brain kind of like categorized it as like, yeah, you know, it's like a fun B movie. Cause you know, there's some cheesy line delivery, and there's a little bit of over the top violence and some boobs, but I'm watching through it again. I'm like, man, there's a lot of like intricacy and care. Like, and this is like just genuinely a really well-made movie.
Yeah, no, it's super sick. The score, fucking awesome.
Oh, dude, the soundtrack was so fucking sick.
I was saying, a villain, the villains, sick.
The villains, sick. The few monsters, sick. Arnie looks sick.
Yeah, dude, Arnie looking sick. Not like super like Hollywood gassed out yet. Still looking pretty sick. I was just saying, his line delivery.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best, but fucking, it's still early.
I'm gonna be honest. I was surprised by how like good some of his lines were because
I think they're just so fucking quotable. I'm just saying, we'll get to those lines. I hope to God you wrote down those lines.
I wrote down the ones that I immediately capped as iconic. I might have missed one or two, but you know, there was a point to where I was trying not to write too many quotes because I'm like, okay, whatever you do, don't turn this review into just like it being you and James doing Arnold impersonations the whole time.
Or James Earl Jones. There's like some James Earl Jones quotes that I have like in my brain.
Yeah, too. He says some cool stuff in the movie.
He does say some cool shit. But either way, how does this movie start? Well, I can tell you how this movie starts. It opens up with like someone making a sword, basically forging a blade with sick fucking title graphics, the anvil of Crom playing in the background. I'm like, this shit's fucking ready to go. This shit's ready to go. I'm like, hell yeah. And then we get dialogue about Crom. Who is Crom? What is Crom? Tell us. We see a man and his child.
He's narrating for now, he's telling the child between the times when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of and on to this. Oh, wait, no. Sorry, that was opening narration for Conan. We skipped that. Okay, so yeah, Blacksmith. He's telling about Crom, which, by the way, you lied to me. I thought it was pronounced Crom this whole time. They say it's Crom in the movie.
I thought it was Crom.
I thought so too, but, well, does the Blacksmith dude says Crom? And I think Schwarzenegger says Crom, but that's because of his accent. Whatever. So he's basically saying Crom was a dude who was a god, and he lost the Enigma of Steel or something, and there was like a big war between giants and gods, but now the Riddle of Steel is for man to claim. And he tells his son, the boy who would become Conan, that you can't trust women, men, or beasts. But this, he points to his sword, this you can trust.
Steel.
I was like, okay, that's sick.
Steel is what you can trust. I'm like, that's hard. Fuck yeah. I was like, I think it's just like, yeah, third time watch, I'm like, yes. Yeah, you can't trust man, woman, or beast. But steel, you can trust steel. I'm like, you know what? You're not wrong. Like, what the fuck's steel gonna do to you? Like, yeah, unless someone takes your steel and fucking slices you, I think your steel's fucking with you to the very end. So, like, dude, that steel's gonna be like that side chick. Ain't going nowhere.
So they head back to their village. Everyone's hanging out, having a good time. But we see these imperial looking dudes who are upon horseback. They ride into the village, and we see like some feral looking man glare down the child Conan.
Yeah, we see this dude in like tattoos. He just like comes up and he's just wacky, just buff dude. You know what's the thing about this movie? There was a lot of fucking buff dudes. Like, you know, they were juiced up. I was like, I think they were just like, we just need buff dudes. And there was just this buff tattooed dude. You just see him staring down. I don't know if he even like yells, but he might have yelled. He might have just been, ah. And the freaking like, dude, horses come and they just raid this village. It's fucking crazy. It's pandemonium.
Yeah.
People are getting slaughtered. Dude, there's like blood like splattering. This movie's sick.
So, and you know, once the Imperials come down, they start, like you said, they just start doing some murdering.
Yeah,
baby.
They're just murdering.
And, you know, credit to the, dude, credit to the village and Conan's dad. They put up a fight.
Oh, yeah. No, dude. Conan's dad is kicking ass and they're lighting shit on fire. Shit's crazy.
But eventually they get the upper hand. And in a moment of fucking gnarly tragedy, Conan's dad is impaled and killed and then eaten by dogs.
Gnarly, dude. Sick.
And then
sick movie.
And, And then they corner Conan and his mom. The bad guys all take off their helmets. A lot of them looks like they should be in. They play in Spinal Tap. And one of the people that takes off
like
their helmets.
These look like juiced up dudes that look like they play in Spinal Tap. They look like how I actually want my heavy metal band to look like. I'm just saying. Like, if motherfuckers roll up like...
These some dudes with mullets?
I would say, if these dudes roll up, I might trust these riffs. I'm just saying. They look like dudes that... I could trust their riffs. I could trust their band. I would feel like, I feel like I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to have a fun time. And then, boom, James Earl Jones with them fucking bright blue eyes for some goddamn reason. I can't remember if he has those eyes again in any part of the film, but they just decided, it was like, he's just going to have baby blue eyes right here. Just like straight-haired, long-haired James Earl Jones. I don't think he says anything.
He has blue eyes. I read in like an interview or whatever, they gave him the straight hair and blue eyes because they wanted to give James Earl Jones this appearance of like that he was from like another world kind of thing, you know?
Well, he is kind of from another world because he's James Earl fucking Jones.
True.
And that's it. He doesn't even talk yet. We don't even get Darth Vader voice. No.
He doesn't talk until like 2/3 into the movie. And then he beheads his mom in front of Conan, which, you know, gnarly. Hey, you know, and I gotta say,
literally, he's just so chill. He doesn't look like he's gonna do shit. He just stares at him and he's like, I'm just gonna turn around. And then psych slices Conan's mom's head off. And then just like Conan's just like, oh damn, my mom's head just got sliced off. Insane.
And like, you know, some of the facial expressions were like really cheesy at times, but you know what? This was a hell of an opening. There was barely any dialogue too. That was the thing that struck me most about this movie. There's a lot of like held shots and like quiet time and times of no dialogue. It really adds to the atmosphere, I think.
Oh, dude, that's it. The movie has atmosphere too. It's so sick. So sick.
So after that all goes down, we get a new narrator this time. The captions say he's a wizard, which, by the way, the wizard, fun fact for you guys, I know you know this, played by Mako, the man that would go to be Uncle Iroh and Aku.
You know what? Okay, so I didn't get the Iroh voice here, but dude, the fucking, like, dude, fuck it. Oh, damn it. Aku. Yeah, Aku. He was on full Aku voice right here. I was like, is this the Samurai Jack motherfucker? No way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to say it. Sick movie. I'm saying sick movie.
Yeah. And what's funny is like, I was like, yo, that's fucking Aku. I forgot he was in this movie. Let's go.
I was like, is that Aku's voice? No way, dude, fuck yeah. And like, and how many times I've seen this movie, I totally forgot. But it's like, well, since I'm actually like, you know, I was like, well, I need to pay attention because I'm going to review this movie, so I should like lock in. And I was like, no way, that's Aku's voice. But either way, Aku.
Yeah, and what's funny is that
talk about his master. Dude, I can't do it. Do you got an Aku voice?
Yeah,
you got the Iroh voice?
Let me try. They're kind of different. Let me try.
Zuko, you must attain balance if you are going to be the leader of the Fire Nation. Zuko.
That's kind of Uncle Iroh. And then Aku is like,
long ago in a distant land, I, Aku, the shape-shifting master of darkness.
It's so hard because I remember him saying in an interview that when he did like Aku's voice, it was like all like breathing deep, like stomach projection, diaphragm projection, because he said his exact words were evil comes from the belly.
Evil comes from the belly.
But what's funny is that
long time ago, my master. This is a story of my master, Arnold Schwarzenegger, being ripped.
Not yet. We're still, like, in the movie, we only still see him as a kid. He gets, like, locked up into child labor. To go just rotate a fucking just, like, wood wheel for, like, days on end. Maybe they're mining and drilling something, but It's just like we just see child labor. Like he's brought across the land, afar to the east. He there was put in like, I don't know, fucking labor. And it's just like, for some reason, he's the one that doesn't die. If anything, he becomes fucking ripped. I don't know how.
Yeah.
He just becomes ripped from pushing a fucking log for like 20 years.
What I find interesting about this scene is that because, you know, they do a couple time skips to show him aging. And as he gets older and older, like you said, eventually the other kids that are with him dwindles and dwindles till he's the only one left. Also, I want to point out really quick something I thought was funny because I was so stoked. I was like, oh, shit, that's Aku narrating. His narration was literally this, basically just say, yeah, no one knows why they attacked the village that day, TBH. And I was like, thank you, Wizard.
Thank you, Wizard. Thank you, Wizard, for your like your deep knowledge of telling me you don't know shit.
So yeah, Conan is now Arnold, and I wrote here he looks like a Hercules that will actually do Hercules shit. And then
I can tell you that Conan the Barbarian does way more Hercules shit than fucking whatever the fuck the Rock did.
So one day an Empire dude arrives on horseback to take Conan away to his fight pit.
Yeah, it's like, hey, there's like that one kid, he survived and he got fucking ripped. I don't know. He just, it's kind of crazy. Do you want to make a train him into a fucking fighter? I don't know. We're just gonna throw him in a fight pit and see what happens. Yeah, he's just
God. In this fight pit, dude, every sound out of Arnold's mouth was like, it was so pure Arnie. He's literally doing the
yeah. While he's having a fight and he's getting sliced up by this dude in armor, but for whatever reason, he's able to just like lock his arm behind this dude and just fucking just like forearm club him to death and just wins. And then from there, we just see a compilation where he just becomes an acclaimed fighter in this fight pit. Like, he's so sick, it's like, all right, we're going to actually give you a master. He learns the way of the sword. And then we also see him, he's learning, like, how to speak a language, read, and write.
And he then also learns the pleasures of the flesh.
As we first see some titties, I'm like, bro, it's only like 15 minutes in. Damn, some titties already? Crazy. When I saw this as a kid, dude, when I saw this when I was in, like, high school, I was like, yo, what? Yo! Insane. I was like, and as an adult, I'm like, hell yeah. This scene. Hell yeah. He's like, this chick's like all scared. And he's like, acted all polite. But then he just fucking just like settles her down. And I guess they bone, you guys.
Yeah. And it's so funny because like, yeah, like you said, Boo pops out. She's clearly scared. But he puts a coat on to like cover up. Oh, and by the way, he's in like a cage. And there's like six dudes watching him the whole time. And yeah, he just gently lays
this is the closest thing they had porn back then, all right? Well, what else are you going to do? You just got to watch two people bone if you want to get a boner. I don't know.
And then he gently lays her down. They totally bone, you guys. And yeah, then we get a scene where Conan is, and I forgot that this is where this quote was. We get a scene where Conan is sitting in on a meeting and some people are talking and one guy asks another guy, what's best in life? And the guy says something
like, what is best in life? And some dude says something and it's like, nah, Conan, what is best in life?
Okay, here we go. To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of their women.
He's like, yeah! I was like,
wow, that kind of quote just kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, he just sits there, and you're just like, but we're just sitting there going, hell yeah, sick movie.
I also kind of find the context kind of funny because when people like quote this part, they're like, yeah, it's badass, awesome. And it's like, at this point in his life, Conan's like a fighting like slave. That's not like a badass proclamation. That's what he's been taught to like survive. But
he's kind of a badass. I don't know. Fuck you. He's just a badass. How about you hop in the fight pit with Arnie? All right. With his fucking like armored fucking armored pointy fists. He will punch and stab you at the same time. All right. He will crush you and you will lay before him and then you will hear the lamentation of the women. So deal with it, nerd. Sick movie.
So the next scene, Arnold is being harassed by the person who made him fight because he decides to randomly now set him free. And he's just like, dog.
He just sit there and he's just like,
I don't know. I have a heart now. I've like raised you like a buff child of mine. Fuck it. I am setting you free. And he's like, no, I kind of want to stay. I'm used to this. Leave. Get out of here. And he's like, it just runs off. And yeah, he's getting chased by dogs where he runs into a fucking like he climbs onto a bunch of rocks and ends up being a random fucking tomb. Yeah, weird. He makes fire and then he sees what looks like some king, bro, and like an ancient blade, which he grabs the sword and I guess it's still good. And he goes out and he fucking kills dogs. What'd you think of this moment where Arnie gets the fucking blade and independence for himself?
That was cool, but I thought it was really funny watching him topple down into the cave because he like trips and falls. And from what I understand, Arnold did like all of his stunts because this may surprise some people. They could not find a body double that convincingly matched Arnold's physique.
I'm going to say, like, he's fucking Mr. Olympia like 8 times or 7 times. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's going to be kind of hard. How are you going to find someone that has like that bod? Not happening. Like, these days, sure. But back then, nah.
So now with sick blade in hand, sick steel in hand, you guys, Arnold travels across the land for a bit. And eventually...
And that's the thing. We see like he skinned them dogs. He's using all their fur as like, you know, warm clothes. And we just see he's just in a random valley. And then we see like a random house.
Yeah, there's a hot lady in the hut.
Yeah, and like she's a hot, like, deep voice lady. She's like,
there's warmth and fire.
Arnold being the autistic child doesn't know how to react to the situation. Since all he's known has been to fight, fuck, and like read. So he's just like,
fight, fuck, and read.
Yeah, I don't know. That's all we've learned from him so far.
Yeah, you can see Arnold weighing the options in his head because he's like, dangerous, possibly. But
possibly
also,
dangerous.
Hot lady.
Yo, a hot lady. And he just starts walking. And she's like, are you sure you don't want warmth and fire? He's like, okay, I guess I'll hang out. And just inside, he's like munching on a blueberry muffin. She's just crawling on the ground, throws some sparks in the fire and just saying shit. And she talks about snakes. And he goes like, snakes? What do you know about these snakes? Well, she's all trying to be hot, and she's all like crawling. She's all like all fours being hot.
And he whispers very aggressively to her that he's looking for a symbol or shield or something with an image of two snakes coming together as one as they face the other. And so she starts getting into it too. She's like, with a sun and moon below, but there's a price, barbarian, like, yes, for like her knowledge or whatever.
He's like, all
and
right.
And then the price is that they totally bone you guys.
They totally bone you guys. This is the part we get the great, like, the sample of Sabora. She's just moaning out, and then she just turns into demon while mid bone. And I'm like, dang, that's terrifying. You're like fucking getting down and dirty with your fucking like crazy fantasy bay while you're all buff and ripped, all fucking like, I'm sure you're hard as an Arnold rock, and then she just turns into a demon and you're like, damn, there goes my boner. And then she's just like scratched it up, holding him down, trying to munch on him and shit, and he just throws her in the fire, and she's just, her like spirit just runs off into the valley. And I'm just like, okay, that was like a fun little side plot, little side quest thing.
Which is crazy because this is like almost exactly how like the first chapter of Berserk opens up.
Huh, crazy.
So after she leaves the next morning, now Arnold comes out of the hut, and like just outside of it, there's a dude chilling there.
Yeah, how did he miss this dude in the first place? That's what I was wondering. Unless that dude was just really crashed out. Unless she just had a spell and just had him to shut the fuck up. Yeah, no, I was just like, damn, how'd you miss that dude in the first place? But you know what? We'll fill in the blanks at a later day. We meet this man, and he's a thief. He's a thief, right?
Yeah, he's a thief and an archer.
All right. He seems valuable to add into Arnie's RPG party.
And then he is trying to ask Arnold for food. And then Arnold asks him just like this. He goes, who are you?
Who are you?
Just like that. That's exactly how he says it. Who are you? So,
I am a friendship. I am an archer.
Yeah, basically. They strike up a friendship over dinner and they talk about their different gods. Subutai prays to like the four winds, the like everlasting sky.
I pray to the four winds, the everlasting sky. And then Arnie's like, I praise to Krom and Steel.
And they basically just get into a little bit of my god could totally beat up your god.
Yeah, my mom could beat up your mom. Kind of bullshit. Talking about their fucking mystic gods.
So they frolic across the wasteland for a bit until they...
they're just like power running. They're just running. And like for a good minute too. We just see them like, hey, well, you know, we're just going to film scenery. How about you dudes just run across for this like field with like big mountains in the background? How about you run across there? And they eventually just show up at civilization.
Yeah, just civilization. And then, but it was kind of weird because they show up, they walk around for like a few seconds and then they just leave.
Yeah, I know. That one I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, they just walk around, they kind of see some shit, and then they just, leave. I'm like, huh. Back to more running in the middle of fucking nowhere, because fuck it, or why not? Yo, let's just watch Buff Arnold just run in the middle of nowhere with some dude. Like, it's sick watching Buff Arnold run in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of sick. Like, I'm down with the sick scenic shot and big Buff Arnie just running in the middle of nowhere. Hell yeah. Sick movie, guys.
But then they just come up on another city.
Yeah, they just go to another town. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess there's not another town now.
They're asking around about Arnold's snake symbol, but no luck. In an odd scene, we see a woman offering them a charm, and then Arnold calls her a slut. I just wanted to point that one out.
Yeah, it's just out of nowhere. It's like, how about you? The guy's like, nah, shut up, you slut. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah. And then some dude's like, do you like some hogger? Nah. Are you sure this hogger's good? Ah, why would I sell like bad hogger to a slayer like yourself? Yeah, and they just like ask some dudes like, we don't know much about like the snake thing you're talking about, but there's a tower with a bunch of snake heads. Maybe that might be something for you over there.
Also, Arnold gets jump scared by a camel and then punches it in the face.
Well, he's also drunk too. He's been like raging. He's been also raging in the middle of town. I don't know. He's all happy drunk and he punches a camel. It's pretty sick.
Sick movie.
Sick movie, guys.
So after that, they leave. Arnold gets an idea because, like you said, they were told about these towers, the Towers of Set. There's a snake in there, and there's apparently a priceless jewel or something. So they decide, hey, let's stage a heist. They infiltrate, you know, they get in there, and they run into a hot blonde with a sword.
And I guess she's a thief, too. And he's like, whoa, what are you doing here? What are you guys doing here? Well, we're here to try to steal some shit. Well, I'm here to try to steal some shit. Don't fuck up my flow. You're gonna fuck things up if you guys try to steal shit. How about you leave? Nah. How about you leave? I got Arnie. Look how buff this dude is. And then they
team up.
It's like, you know what? Hey, maybe check this. Ideal light bulb. How about we team up? It'll make getting shit easier. I'm just saying. And it's like, I don't know. But fuck it. Why not? I don't know. This place is sketchy. It's weird. There's like a bunch of like fucking cult-like people in here. So fuck it. Let's just do that. Hell yeah. Let's go steal some shit, guys. Sick movie.
Sick movie. So they scale the wall and then sneak inside. And then they happen upon a ritual taking place. There's a ritual taking place inside, and someone made a comment about the person doing the ritual is like second in command to Thulsa Doom, I think.
Yeah.
And then Arnold and homie sneak through what's basically the sewers, and they happen upon a snake pit that holds the fabled jewel and also a really huge ass snake.
Yeah. And so Arnie fights a huge ass snake, you guys. Hey. Remember that movie, that Hercules movie we watched with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, how he didn't do any Hercules shit?
Yeah.
Hey.
Funny about that.
Yeah.
Arnold here does hella Hercules shit.
Yeah, he fights a giant snake. It's fucking sick. Fuck you, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you stupid piece of shit. Fuck you and your Hercules movie. Arnie's not even trying to be Hercules. He's already fighting a giant fucking snake. It's super sick. He's like punching it. He's stabbing it. It's kind of crazy. Sick movie, guys.
Arnold takes the jewel, but he sees. Arnold takes the jewel. He fights the snake. Also, we saw more boobs here for the ritual.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's just more boobs. So was it boob counter number three? I think it's number two.
She was going to sacrifice herself to the snake, I think.
Yeah. I'm about to say, I remember like the witch hut lady. I don't think we never saw any boobs from her. So I think this is boobs number two.
So then that all happens. And they honestly, so it's funny. The ritual people realize the snake is dead, but honestly, yeah, Arnie like, and Mal friends just, like, get away without much trouble.
Yeah. Like literally this chick that was ready for the sacrifice, she just like falls in the pit, breaks her leg, and she realizes, oh my God, the snake is dead. I'm not going to be eaten, and I broke with my leg. Ah! So, yeah. And then, like, I don't know if they are, like, fighting out of the tower or they easily escape. No, wait, they're fighting out the tower because I remember they had to go up some ropes and shit. And the hot blonde lady, she's able to, like, tie some dude up and use his weight leverage to shoot her up and out of the fucking snake tower pit thing.
Yeah. So then now, hey, successful heist. So now they're at a tavern.
Yeah, they're just chilling. They're just like, hell yeah, successful heist by guys. Fuck yeah. High five.
Blonde with the sword and Arnold are playing really intimate footsies, but with their hands the jewels. I'm not kidding. Like, okay, so to recap, they met. They work together. They held hands awkwardly. And then they go back to Arnold's place to totally bone you guys. Like, they get down.
Yeah, they get down. Boobs number three. And Arnie's just full gripping. He's going to town. He's stoked.
Arnold must have just been like, madam, have you ever been with a five-time Mr. Universe?
A five-time, six-time, seven-time Mr. Universe.
The fifth time I won was incredibly controversial, but it doesn't matter. What matters is I am a five-time Mr. Universe. I have earned the universe five times.
Do you want to see Mr. Universe's biceps?
So now the story goes that the three of them are just fucking partying because they're rich now.
Yeah, they're rich now. They just stole shit and they're fucking going to town.
They're dude, it's crazy. They're like, they're drinking, eating, probably having orgies.
Yeah,
dude,
I don't know. I'm sure there was like a lot more liberal back then. The fuck, get down shit.
And the idea is the three of them, I guess, got complacent and lazy because one day they're drunk. Guard comes and take them to the priest, I think, that they stole shit from. They take him to like a king.
Yeah. And the king's like, yeah, so those fucking snake guys stole my daughter. And I've had men try to get these dudes that retrieved my daughter and they can't get nowhere. But you fucking thieves are able to somehow get in, kill a bunch of dudes, jack their fucking shit and be rich. So I have an offer for you. Can you please get my daughter back? I will give you a lot of money. If you can go and like get my daughter back, please, from like Dulce Doom. Dulce Doom's kind of got my shit and I like my daughter, all right? And I want her home, all right? I'm very concerned, guys. I will pay you cash. He's like,
yeah, money loses its splendor. Thrones are like a prison. Bro, I just want my daughter back.
Please.
And he gives him the jewels like up front. Like he gives him a lot of money up front. So now they're in their chambers and the blonde gal, who we forgot to mention is named Valeria, I think. She's trying to convince Arnold to say, pull a Steve Miller and take the money and run. And that she's some stuff about how she's been alone her whole life and wants warmth in this cold, cold world. Unfortunately, Arnold has a personal stake in all this.
He has a personal stake. He wants to go kill fucking Darth Vader. He's like, fuck you. I'm going to go kill this man now. He fucking killed my dad and he jacked his sword. I'm pissed. He made me push a wheel for fucking 20 years. I think I'm a little... I think I got some beef with this man. Fuck you, Darth Vader.
You know, this kind of reminds me, for some weird reason, do you remember... did you ever play The Force Unleashed?
Yeah, I played The Force Unleashed. Where are you going with this?
It kind of reminds me of a... without getting into spoilers, Folsom Doom and Conan here got a little bit of a Darth Vader and Starkiller going on. If you remember the plot from that game at all.
A little later, but not at this moment. Right now, Arnie's got is fucking sick buys and a fucking hankering for vengeance on Darth Vader.
We see a montage of Arnold traveling throughout the land. And, you know, compliment to the movie. This is a travel sequence, right? But unlike most movies where it's like 15 seconds of quick fade in shots of people walking, like each one's in like a pretty different location. His gear changes with each shot to show the passage of time. You can see him stop and talking and asking people for directions. And it goes on for a minute, and I gotta tell you, I like it. I'm like, this feels like I'm really on the journey with Conan. It's just such a sick movie.
Yeah, dude, sick movie, you guys.
Something eventually Arnold comes across a place with a bunch of dead bodies and a wizard in a hut. This is the wizard that we've been hearing the whole movie. Again,
this is fucking Aku,
aka Uncle Iroh, aka Master Splinter. Long that one ago, time
in a distance far away,
catch me if you can, samurai.
Catch me if you can, samurai. Who dare goes to my property? You, buff Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What? Where did that extra thick come from?
There was an episode. There's an episode of Samurai Jack with that order that opens up with him ordering what sounds like a pizza, but it's like a he's like ordering a henchman or whatever, and that's one of the lines he says. He says, "Yes, I'll have the usual." Yes, that's right. You hear the phone go, and he goes, "Yes, that's right." Extra thick. It's just. He wanted it extra thick.
I guess he wanted it extra thick.
So, where was I? Okay. So, yeah, Hutt, him and the wizard struck up a friendship.
Yeah, they just randomly, like, the dude tells him, like, get off my lawn. And then, like, literally 5 seconds later, what's up, buddy? Shit, dude, what's good with you, dude? Let's come kick it. How's this adventure
conversation
been?
This conversation is more just to, like, you know, give some additional lore about the land. And then next day he kind of just jacks one of Aku Iroh's camels to just traverse the land.
He didn't feel like running anymore. He got his leg workout in.
True.
Yo, it's his rest day.
So he comes on to what I assume is like a prisoner camp, and he spends the night there. And then in the morning, some people with robes, I think, show up.
Yeah, so I think this is Thulsa Doom's fucking cult. Obviously, we know this is like Thulsa Doom's fucking cult. All we can see is like there's dudes with robes, and I don't know if we see the snake thing yet, but Arnie followed these people, period.
And then we get a short scene where Arnold seduces a man.
No, seduce a man. I thought he was just talking about, like, he's like.
Well, that's what the scene came off as because I thought the scene was he's like,
dude, I'm nervous about joining this cult. And, like, this, like, you know, I'm sure one of the, like, pastors or fucking, like, you know, camp counselors. He's like, oh, what? This is nothing to worry. Can I talk to you in private? I want to voice my concerns. Okay, let's go over here. All right, big guy. So, what's up? What are you having issues? I don't know. I'm gonna kill you and steal your shit, and then that's kind of what happens.
Because like he starts touching on Arnold and just being like,
"Oh,
he
you're said, so buff."
I wrote the quote.
Oh, so this is what here. Mr. Olympia biceps are like. Ooh.
I wrote the quote here. He's like rubbing Arnold's chest, and he says something like, "You needed to be afraid to bear your grown body," and then Arnold says, "I'm shy. Can we talk over there where others cannot see?" And he goes, "Of course."
Oh, of course. You're like, okay.
So as far as I'm concerned, Arnold Schwarzenegger seduced this man. And then yeah, he knocks him out.
I don't know. I feel like the dude tries to seduce him. Artie just came up with a sick pecs. The dude's like, "I want to touch your sick pecs, bro."
I mean, to be honest, I mean, I don't blame him.
Yeah, but. I was gonna say those are sick pecs, but either way, continuing on.
So he takes his robe, sneaks into the Covenant. They go to these big, like, white stairs that lead into, like, a palace or whatever. And Arnold's just getting as close as he can. Then enters Doom, which, by the way...
Doom, Darth Vader, James Earl Jones, the voice of CNN. This is CNN.
Oh, God. Yeah, there's like, by the way, so James Earl Jones showed up in the first 5 minutes of the movie, right? He does not show up again until now when there's like, what, 40 minutes left in the movie?
Does he need to, though? It's kind of sick. You're kind of on a venture to fucking beat this dude.
No, he's pretty sick.
Yeah,
he makes a big big speech to his followers about how much he loves them, how sick he is. But while he's doing that, Arnold's trying to like sneak in closer. You know,
like this big buff dude's gonna sneak in between all these fucking twinks.
Yeah, he does not make for a very good solid snake.
I'm just saying, I don't know if Arnie is like a stealth, is like his stats of stealth are going to be that high. I'm just saying. His stats in strength? Hell yeah. But stats in health? I mean, it's stealth? Yeah, I don't know about that, Budster.
He invested all his points in the strength and charisma.
Yeah. They're not bad, but I feel like him trying to play stealth right now is a little bit risky. I'm just saying. It's not going to go his way.
So they eventually catch Arnold because, like we said, I mean, big giant man with long hair, buffs poking out of his robes. I mean, kind of hard. One of the reasons they caught him, I think, was because he had this like green medallion of the snakes. He gave it to a guard to like let himself in, but then in doing so, it sets him up to get captured. I don't know. I just know they captured him and they beat the shit out of him.
I'm just saying they beat the shit out of him. He didn't put enough stat. He didn't put enough points in the stats of stealth, so he kind of fucked up there. And then, yeah, he's just like
something that Rock would never let happen to him. By the way, you ever notice that about Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, that even when he was peak Arnold, except for like, I don't know, Commando, Arnold like let his characters like lose or like get beat still to like have that little essence of like humanity and stuff. Not Rock, though. Once he started showing up in Fast and Furious, that's when he started going Steven Seagal. He could never look weak. Arnold was actually cool with letting his characters get beat up.
Well, this is why we have Arnold Schwarzenegger where he's at, and you have Dwayne The Rock Johnson at where he's at now.
Yeah, yelling about cancel culture at age 50.
Yeah. Wait, is that Dwayne? Is that Arnie?
No, that's Dwayne.
Either way,
he said that in an interview leading up to WrestleMania, but he was talking about people. He was saying that in the context of being pissed that people were pissed that he took Cody's WrestleMania spot.
Ooh, sorry, Cody earned it. Ooh. No matter. He didn't win in the end. Fuck you, Roman. Ooh.
So then Thulsa comes out to talk to Conan. He's pretty salty that Conan killed his snake.
Thorgrim.
And then Conan is
beside himself with grief. He raised that snake to the time it was born. Oh, I love that quote. Mostly because that's a fucking sample from a Krom song I've heard fucking on repeat forever.
And you raised that snake from the moment of its birth, and you killed it.
You killed it.
Thorgrim, and then Schwarzenegger goes
beside himself with grief. This is CNN.
And then Arl goes, "You killed my mother. You killed my father. You killed my people. You took my father's sword." And Tulsa goes, that must have been when I was younger.
Yeah, I think it's 20 years have passed. I'm just saying he might have gotten older.
Actually, no, he says it even more nonchalant. He goes, that must have been when I was younger. I was like, that was so cold.
He's just like, I don't remember that. Fuck. Sick movie, though.
But for me, it was a Tuesday. So then they talk about the riddle of steel.
I know it's the riddle of steel, but Arnie, how he says it, he says ribble of steel. I thought it was ribble of steel, but I was like, oh, it's riddle of steel. Arnie just fucks up and saying it.
The ribble of steel. So
the ribble of steel. He's like, yes, the riddle of steel.
So Thulsa Doom is that? So Thulsa Doom is actually a really interesting villain because here's his whole thing. He goes into his whole thing about why he feels that flesh is superior to steel. He said,
for the longest time, here, I thought power was through steel, but flesh.
He says steel pales in comparison to flesh. He who wields the steel, it's what's in your heart. So it's kind of interesting. Normally, that's like a point that the heroes make, right? That like, oh, it's all about willpower, the strength of your heart. I mean, we've seen that in a million things. But here it's the villain talking about how it's about strength of heart and willpower. So I thought that was a neat like
strength of heart and willpower, but also the power of manipulation where he just sits there's like, check this. And he makes some random chick fucking suicide jump and die on the ground out of nowhere. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, he's like, that is strength. That is power.
And I'm like, she does have power over the people. I'm just saying, that's a lot going there.
And then he senses Arnold, take him to the tree of woe. Crucify him. Which, fun fact for wrestling fans, that's where that term comes from. Because everyone likes fucking Conan.
I don't know. How dare this be a sick movie, you guys?
Dude, it's such a sick movie.
So either way, Conan's now like, was he crucified? Yeah, this is the part we see. Yeah. He's just like crucified.
Yeah, they crucified.
He's like all tied
up. Even the T-pose, they got nails in his arms.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Fucking, for him to survive for a moment out of starvation, a bird, like a fucking vulture lands on him, and he just catches it with his fucking teeth, just drinks out its blood and eats his flesh just to get a little bit more moments of life. Dude, crazy scene, actually, if you think about it. Sick movie, you guys.
No, it's a really sick movie. So then he dies. He like dies.
Does he die? I thought he was like on the death's door, and like this is when like Hot Blonde and his fucking basically his RPG fucking crew, his RPG party comes up and like gets him.
So I think he dies because here's what this next scene happens. He says he's going to perform a resuscitation spell, basically.
So, I think we're seven. So I think his RPG party shows up. They get him. They take him to the wizard. And the wizard talks about he's like near some mystic land where if you put him here, he might be able to get back to life. I don't know. But yeah, now you go. I think we got ourselves caught up.
After he says that, he says there's a heavy toll and they will try to take him, by which he means after Mako pulls a Jigglypuff and draws all over Arnold's face, the sky goes dark and evil red spirits try to take Arnold to the land of the dead, I guess.
Yeah.
And then
but I guess like fucking Krita. Yeah, no, but I guess like fucking Valeria, I think that's her name.
Yeah, that's what it says, Valeria. And yeah,
Valeria just comes in and she just she's like spin kicking, fucking punching off spirits, trying to fight him off on her big buff man, her beefcake of a man, fucking Conan. Yeah.
And it's funny because I wrote here, I said Valeria and Sobotai fend off the spirits, but mostly it comes down to sitting on Arnold so they don't take him and punching the air. Well, you know, punching the spirits.
Yeah, she's punching spirits, but like, I don't know, I'm sure the director's like, I don't know, just flail your fist around. We'll pretend to fly something around you.
And then the next morning, Arnie's just alive now. He's back, you guys.
He's kicking ass. He's like, hell, fuck yeah. Our boy's back. He came from crucified. His fucking blonde bae fucking fought off spirits. Now he's ready to fucking kick Darth Vader's ass. Let's go.
With a renewed pep in his step, he plays with a new sword for a while, and then the next day.
Actually, no, this is weird to discuss it. Where it's like, hey, I know you ran off and you're on a fucking revenge boner for fucking Darth Vader, but we're gonna offer a lot of fucking money if we can get the king's daughter back. I'm just saying, are you still down? Because it seemed like you had your fun running in and getting your ass whooped by Darth Vader and his fucking heavy metal band. So I'm just saying.
Darth Vader and his heavy metal band.
I'm just saying.
Which, by the way, so those are the two types of riffs he trusts, right? Big buff mullet men or thick bald men.
I'm just saying. You might trust it.
Bald or... Actually, do you prefer bald or balding?
I don't know, dude. When a dude rocks a shitty hairline, I'm just saying that's a statement. That's a statement right there. I would say, but either way,
head off to the mountain of power.
The mountain of power, you guys. The mountain, dude. That sounds like a fucking funk album. The mountain of power. Yo, was that James?
That sounded more like a shitty Manowar album.
Oh, it can't be. It's either or. I'm just saying, mountain of power. I'm just saying, James Earl Jones and the fucking Mullet Funk Crew. Hell yeah, let's go.
It's the sequel band to Tower of Power.
Dude, hell yeah. Dude, you know what's a sick band?
What?
Tower of Power.
Yeah, they're pretty sick.
I'm just saying. So, Oakland OGs right there.
Hell yeah. Oh, dude. Oakland always had the best musicians.
Yeah, them,
Brother Lynch hung. Wasn't the Exodus from Oakland?
Yeah, either from the Bay Area. I'm just saying, you know, Bay Area, yeah. OGs. But either way. Oh, yeah, so off to the Tower of Power. They fucking put on some sick body paint. You camo body paint, you guys. They're looking like they sneak in. And?
They sneak in through a worker mine. And they're sneaking around, till eventually they come across what I wrote down as, wait a minute, did they stumble into Caligula's orgy boat?
Yeah, dude, there's just a fucking orgy going on in this fucking cave, which, I don't know, they're stoking. As I said, we see fucking, like, two of our fucking sick heavy metal riff men, just like, fucking power duo, just sitting there just fucking squeezing titties or some shit. I don't know, everyone's vibing, alright? They're just having a sick orgy. Just having a kickback
also,
orgy.
There's a leopard in there.
Yeah, dude, why not? When you're James Earl Jones of this universe, why the fuck not have a leopard? I'm just saying. Then we also get this weird thing, too, where we just see James Earl Jones just turns to a fucking snake out of nowhere, and nothing comes of it.
Yeah, he just turns into a snake, and like,
fuck it, why not? Like, we're just like, hell yeah, you know what? We're just gonna make a movie right now. We're fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger. These two dudes are gonna come in, and they're just gonna sneak into this fucking orgy. And yeah, James Earl Jones, you're just gonna turn into a snake. Hell yeah, let's go. Let's film it right now.
And he must have some future vision, because here's the thing: he doesn't like turn into a snake to like fight anybody. Because, and keep in mind, the heroes still have not been discovered yet. He just leaves.
Yeah, he doesn't leave. He slithers away. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So eventually what happens is Valeria sets some curtains on fire and they start laying waste to the guards.
Yeah, like, they lay waste to the guards.
Up these guards.
Yeah, dude, they're just fucking up guards. They grab the fucking king's daughter, I think. Hell yeah. I think they're like, you know, on a successful mission. They're fucking Arnie's fighting off the fucking two dudes that fucked up his dad. Shit, he's fighting that one dude that looks like a member of Iron Maiden but buff. And then the other fucking dude with the fucking stash that isn't as buff, but I would still trust him in my fucking heavy metal band. I'm just saying. Either way, like, Arnie's fighting these dudes. It's pretty sick. I think he also like knocks a fucking pillar on one of them. It's a pretty tight fight. I'm just saying.
Yeah, a big scary man with a hammer shows up too.
Yeah, I'm just saying, my scary mullet man with the hammer, who was like fucking jacked, bro. Like, I would say, like his fucking armor was pretty deceptive earlier in the movie. When he came here, I was like, damn, dude, homie's jacked to the gills.
And honestly, rewatching this movie, I think Valeria has a higher body count than Conan.
Yeah, dude, Valeria's just, I don't know, just kicks ass. I don't know. Conan's like singular, dude. Maybe Conan's just a pacifist. He only kills when he needs to. He's like on some Batman shit. Wait, no, that's not Batman shit.
They get away. They get away as backup gets there. Doom promises consequences after, because that was the thing. He leaves, but then he like comes back because now he's like with some other guys and he's watching Conan and friends run away.
Yeah, they're making their escape, but like they pop out to another like opening in the cave, and he's just like talks about consequences. Then he fucking grabs a snake.
They will drown in an ocean of blood. They will know why they fear the dark, why they fear the night. And then, yeah, what happens next?
Fucking Darth Vader just grabs a fucking snake, turns it to a fucking arrow, and just shoots it straight at, like, Valeria? Is that her name?
Yeah, I think that's how you say her name.
Well, either way, he nails Valeria with it, and they, like, get away, and then they pull over, and she's like, yeah, I'm dying. I just got nailed with a crazy, like, snake arrow. And when they, like, pulled the, like, arrow snake out, it turns back to normal Snake, and Arnie just, I don't know, I'm just going to pretend he just crushes it and throws it away. And it's just sad that his blonde, fucking ass murdering babe, she's dying. She's dying in his buff arms, his big buff biceps.
And then she just dies, you guys.
Yeah, just kind of dies. And you're like, damn, that sucks.
Yeah, and she was cool.
I know, and she even sits there and is like, well, I think the spirits got what they wanted from earlier. I'm just saying, like, I think they got what the, like, with me bringing you back to life, they have now taken my body away. But sick adventure, you guys. Go get that daughter back to his king, which you keep forgetting that she's there. Like, I honestly,
they saved her. I forgot to mention.
Yeah, no, I just like, dude, this is like maybe the fourth time me watching it, and I realized, oh, yeah, they were trying to save some chick. And she's just there. Like, I totally forgot about her for most of the time. It was like, oh, yeah, she's there. Just chilling. She's all aggro.
Because she's all like, movie forgot about her.
Yeah, no, she's on like that Charles Manson shit. Like, no, dude, Darth Vader's so sick. He wouldn't fucking kill me. No, dude, he's fucks with me. He's fucking, dude, he's my best friend. He's like a total, dude, he's like the stepdad I never got. I'm saying, he's a dad that stepped up. I'm saying, yo, fuck my dad. Fuck that king. I'm saying, Darth Vader, dude, he's not a stepdad. He's the dad that stepped up. I'm just saying, fuck you guys.
Oh, my God. So then, so this may come as a shock to some of you. Conan is not stoked with the plot development of his babe dying.
Yeah, I'm just saying, would you? Because I wouldn't. I'm just saying, I think Conan's pretty justified in this situation.
Next day, they have the so now Sebadai, Wizard, and Conan are all chilling somewhere. The princess is tied up, and she's just like yelling at Conan.
Hey, did we get to the funeral part for our blonde bae?
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention. Yeah, she gets a Viking funeral.
Yeah, and they're like sitting there, like the winds are howling. It's like, yeah, there's no way you're gonna light a fire up there. Arnie just walks up with the howling winds, and the fire is just the torch is still lit. He lights that shit on fire. And it just fucking explodes. Her fucking Viking funeral just randomly explodes. It's crazy, you guys.
The laws of physics and nature do not apply when you are five-time Mr. Universe.
Nah. The laws of physics and nature, they're puny. They're about the girly man. I am Arnold, five-time Mr. Olympia champion. We'll keep this fire, and I will have this sick explosion Viking funeral for my heart blonde warrior babe.
When I'm in the gym and my muscles are getting tighter, it gives me a feeling that it's like coming.
It gives me a feeling like coming. How I calmed on this dead body when she was alive, not when she's dead, because that'd be fucking gross. Now she'll light her on fire.
You know, I never watched that documentary. That's where that quote's from.
Damn, I'll make you watch that documentary. It's pretty great. I'm just saying.
I think it's called Pumping Iron or something.
It's Pumping Iron. It's goated.
Yeah.
Dude, actually, hilarious time when I was on fucking tour last year. I remember because I was touring with this band called Terminator, and we were just talking about Pumping Iron, and legit at our merch table, we all, like, three of us threw up our phones at different scenes from Pumping Iron just on while people were walking by looking at the merch.
Yeah, we might have to put that in the reservoir for the show. So she's yelling at Conan that Darth Vader's gonna come for me and kill you. He's like,
yeah, cool, he's cool, but, like, he cares for me, all right? He's a dad that stepped up. He's not a stepdad, he's a dad that stepped up. And him and his fucking heavy metal band are gonna come, and they're gonna kick your ass, and they're gonna take me home. So fuck you.
And
five-time Mr. Olympia, my ass. Ha.
And Conan goes, cool story, but no one can defeat I, Mr. Universe, and the number one illegitimate baby daddy in all of California.
Oh my God. Fuck his fucking illegitimate fucking son with the goddamn, like, oh God, with the goddamn baby.
Wasn't it the nanny?
Yeah, dude. Oh my God. I totally forgot about that shit.
So Arnold, Wizard, and Sebadai fortify up for a sick confrontation. And then when the forces do show up, we get this iconic passage from Conan. Rom, I have never prayed to you before. I have no time for it. No one, not even you, will remember if we were good men or bad. All that matters is that a few stood against many. That is what's important. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, then to hell with you.
To hell with you. Oh,
such to hell with you.
To hell with you. Oh, such good. Oh, good moment.
Sick movie.
Yeah, dude, he basically set up this whole war. Dude, remember Predator where he set up all the traps and shit? Basically same thing.
Yeah, I wrote that too. He does the exact same thing.
No, maybe he has a thing about setting traps for in a climactic battle to fuck people up. I don't know. Maybe Arnie wants to go better. Like, hey, yo, Arnie's like, I'm not just a man of muscles. I'm a man of brains. I'm going to fuck people up.
It's a better reoccurring motif than in Rock's movies where his fucking wife and child have to die.
Yeah, Rock's like, I have beef with my baby mama, so I want all my movies have my wife and child die. It might be sad, but inside I'm like, yeah, fuck you, bitch. I think the Rock has beef with his baby mama. I don't know.
I heard about that, yeah.
No, maybe that's just a Rock thing. Maybe the Rock could be weird and petty and just like have no neck sometimes.
I'm starting to learn that the richer people are, the pettier they get. At least that's the case. You know, maybe that's just the case with wrestlers, but God, Rock is so petty.
Dude, Rock is weird. But either way, let's talk about Arnie in this climactic battle right here.
Oh, dude. It's like a solid 3 or 4 solid minutes of just pure combat. It's so sick, especially when the Hammerman shows up.
Oh, dude, Hammerman, he's fucking battling like a one-on-one with the Hammerman, but that Hammerman falls into the fucking Ewok like trap and just gets impaled. And I think like
Mustache, it's exactly like the Ewok trap. Yeah,
dude, Mustache Man comes up and he's like, "No, my drummer, fuck." Ah, you killed my fucking drummer, motherfucker. You know how hard it is to get one of those? Son of a bitch, I'm gonna kill you.
And then this was strange. In a moment that I completely forgot about.
Like Mustache Man, he gets the fucking upper hand. Like, he's got Arnie like almost beat. He's about to kill him. He's like, "You killed my drummer, bro. I'm on that, like, you killed my drummer adrenaline, and you are about to die." And then a shiny Valkyrie-like woman comes in and fucking deflects the sword and knocks him back. And it's like, oh, hey, it's the Blonde Bay. I totally keep forgetting her name, you guys. And a fucking giant...
Valeria just shows up and fucking pulls a Goku and actually projects herself onto the battlefield to deflect a shot for Conan.
Yeah, dude,
he's trying to motivate his sons to kill Broly, Bojack, or Cell.
Yeah, I'm just saying, basically in that moment, but instead of Goku, this is like a hot blonde babe in a fucking shiny, like, friggin' like cloak. And then like
Mustache Man was so shiny, I thought I was watching a Madonna video for a second.
Yeah, and she like smiles at Conan and he's like, "I got you, bro. You my man." And then just disappear. And then fucking Mustache Man goes like, "Who brought this chick in the battle? Where'd she go, bro? Where'd she go? What the fuck?" And then, yeah, they have a sick climactic battle, and then fucking Conan beats this dude. And he's killed off fucking Darth Vader's fucking heavy metal bandmates.
And then Darth Vader retreats like a little bitch, but not before trying to shoot the princess with the snake. It's so funny because she's like, "No, my lord, please don't kill me." And it's like, "Oh, I thought you said he loved you."
It's like, "Lord, what happened? I thought you saved me." And like Darth Vader's over here is like, "This is CNN, bitch. I'm gonna kill you." And fucking like tries to shoot her with the snake arrow, but then like the thief man. Oh yeah, you know, just our thief in our RPG party. Was it the thief or was it our white mage? I don't know. Either way, one of them hops in the way.
The wizard would probably be more of a black mage, honestly, red mage. Because you can technically do both. But yeah, whatever.
But either way, someone like comes up with a shield, fucking like deflects off the fucking snake arrow, and then fucking Darth Vader just runs the fuck away. He's like, "Well, my two fucking giant unit of fucking heavy metal like bandmates are dead, and everyone else got fucked up. What the fuck am I gonna do? Fuck this! I'm out of here." It's like,
yeah, it's a great, it's a really sick scene.
It is pretty sick scene. Now I don't know on how much after battle and how much like lead up goes into the next scene. Go, Ed, go. Just tell me what's good.
I didn't remember either, but yeah, so what happens is...
Is that Arnie just like, Arnie's just with the princess. Like, he's just dragging her along as Arnie goes to the fucking, like, Thuma Doom's fucking, like, temple, and there's just, like, a big meeting going on. And Arnie just sneaks the fuck up. For whatever reason, he got stealth points. Now, true, he took down his guards, but I guess throughout coming off from his prior mission, I think he worked on building up his stealth stats, because somehow he just pops up right behind fucking Darth Vader. And then Darth Vader just goes, it's just dialogue talking to him, and he's like, honestly, I just gotta say it. I was the man that made you. I'm just saying. I might have killed your dad and your mom, but me making you work as a laborer for like 20 years, you became Jack, bro. Look at you.
Yeah.
You're like five-time Mr. Yeah, you're like, dude, you're five-time Mr. Olympia, dog. And just think, and I had someone, they taught you to battle. Dude, you kick ass, bro. Just think of all the babes you banged because you're such a badass. I'm just saying. Honestly, if you think about it, Conan, Arnold, I know deep in your feelings, you know it. I'm your father. And then Conan's just like, he's like, oh.
Damn. Yeah, he thinks about it for like a second, and then he's like, no, I am going to cut your head off.
He's just like, no, no, search it in your feelings. You know it'd be true. No, no. And he's just like, Darth Vader turns off like, yep, got another one. Fucking sucker. But then holding his broken dad's sword. Yeah, which, oh yeah, totally, guys. He got his fucking dad's sword back earlier and it fucking broke. But either way, he takes his broken dad's sword. Sword talking about the riddle of steel or the ribble of steel, and he's just like, no, flesh is not better. And fuck Star Wars, I'm gonna fucking kill you, Darth Vader. And he slices off fucking Darth Vader's head in a brutal fashion, too. It's not like a smooth swipe either. He fucking chops that shit like it's a fucking chopping a tree with an axe, bro. It's like blood's gushing. Yeah, he hacked that shit off and he just fucking threw it. And then people were just like, well, Darth Vader's kind of dead now. Yeah, just his head just rolls down. And then people were just like,
they're like, you know, oh, shit, okay.
It was like, you know, I'm just going to go home. And people were just throwing their torches in the water and just people disperse. And then you just see Arnie, he's just contemplating, sitting on the stairs. We see the king's daughter. She's just kind of chilling. She goes off. She's like, damn, the dad that stepped up didn't step up and you kind of just hacked his head off. So are you my dad now? And Arnie just like grabs a fucking torch bowl thing on a chain, just flings it up and just sets the temple on fire. And then the movie's over.
Yeah, we get an ending shot of like older Conan on the throne with a text crawl that says basically, yeah, so Conan gave the king his daughter and then he just bounced out and became king one day. But that's another story.
That is another story. And that, guys.
And that's the movie, everybody.
Yo, sick movie. I'm just saying, what'd you think?
No, that was sick. No, bro, that was a sick movie.
Yo, does this movie got you so jacked? You want to watch Conan the Conqueror next? I think it's Conan the Conqueror.
I think it's Conan the Destroyer.
Oh, dude, even a sicker title name. Yeah, dude, does this make you jacked? Now, I heard it's not as great as this one, but I think I remember watching it. I remember it still being a fun adventure movie. Shit, dude, it's just Arnie just slicing things with swords being jacked. So,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I think it also sucks too because I think they got it from not being rated R because too many kids fucked with this movie. Kids watch this movie and are like, dude, titties, swords, buff dude. This movie's fun as fuck. And it's like, oh, a bunch of kids like this. Maybe we should tone out on the titties.
Like from anything back then, they made a whole bunch of toys.
Yeah, like dude, fucking RoboCop got a card. Yeah, dude, fucking RoboCop. Wasn't that like a violent rated R movie and that became like a child friendly fucking IP?
Oh yeah, RoboCop the first one especially was like I think the second movie was also rated R, but the third one and the remake got a PG-13, I thought. But yeah, first RoboCop, insanely violent. Like, not even just for its time. I mean, like, that movie is, like, fucking violent. But, yeah, got a toy line from Mattel and Hasbro. Got a cartoon, you know, and then same with Conan. Bunch of toys, got a cartoon. You know, even Ghostbusters did. And I know Ghostbusters is a rated PG movie, but have you watched that movie recently? That movie's so raunchy in parts.
No, I haven't. Dude, I've actually never really watched Ghostbusters.
It's pretty good. The first one, pretty good at least.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
But yeah, it's really interesting how that happened, because it's like, oh man, a bunch of kids fuck with this movie. Cool. Well, let's kidify the already like.
Damn.
I don't know. But yeah, let's watch Conan the Destroyer.
That's right. Conan the Destroyer, next episode, baby. Ah, I don't know for the CAR, but I'll figure it out. Well, listeners, I'm jacked. I'm fucking such a sick movie. This is the Triple D Radio Show with your host, James Edward. I hope y'all have a good one.
Adios.